Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
I came to Christ when I was 18 years old, and things began to change in my life. Friends begin to change. Happenings begin to change. My schedule changed. Relationships that I was in, some of them began to adjust. My attitude started changing towards people. The time that I was spending, my desires, even in my home, it began to change. Kind of that juvenile tension that I'd had with my parents, that began to kind of ease up a little bit. And just begin to kind of think differently. Not all that, oh, let me tell you something right now. I'm 18. I know everything about the world. Can I have an amen from all the parents in the house? And so, you know, I had that juvenile tension. You know, it happens. It goes on. It's just bad when somebody's 45 and they're still having juvenile tension. That's the issue. But and so I began to kind of want to be a blessing to my parents and didn't want to argue as much, didn't want to act like I knew everything. And my parents were good to me. My dad was very good to me. He was a good Italian, took care of me, provided, and gave me great opportunity. And my dad would always tell me, you know, how much he loved fresh cucumbers and tomatoes, and he'd eat a sandwich every day. Every day he'd either eat a tomato sandwich or a cucumber sandwich, or he'd eat a peanut butter banana sandwich, always eating sandwiches every single day. So I'd always see him stop by the produce stand, or he'd send me up to the produce stand. I'd get fresh cucumbers or get tomatoes. And so one day he was telling me that he just wants fresh cucumbers. Well, if I could have some fresh cucumbers, fresh. So it dawned on me that I wanted to make a garden for him. Me. I'm going to build a garden in the backyard. Because I got skills. I had to get out the Encyclopedia Britannica. Anybody under 20, you don't know what an encyclopedia is? Talk about that later. That's another sermon. So I went down like True Value and got some stakes and some seed and some soil and some gear to, you know, till up the backyard and made a little garden back there. I wanted to grow a garden for my dad. I was so excited. And I made this attempt, and long story short, it wasn't growing fast enough. I was a touch impatient, had a little ADD, couldn't get the cucumbers fast enough, couldn't get those tomatoes working. And so I fertilizer bombed it. I bombed it with fertilizer, killed everything in about 72 hours. And my dad was so cool about it. He'd go get cucumbers and tomatoes, and then he'd put them out and say, boy, these cucumbers and tomatoes you grew are fantastic. He's just so kind to me. But here's the deal. That was my garden experience, my one garden experience. See, my prayer today is that what happens for a few minutes will be a garden experience for each of our hearts. See, the Bible is a book where much of the main things that take place that have changed our life and that is an offer to mankind, that invites mankind who's lost in sin to have a new beginning and a fresh start. Many of that truth, much of that truth, much of what we hold dear started and took place in a garden. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about three of those gardens and that I believe will lead us to the cross, will lead us to resurrection. I believe as we visit them for a few minutes, I believe not only will we visit them, I believe they will visit us. See, my prayer as we're having a conversation about the gardens of the Bible, that the gardens of the Bible will begin to have a conversation about our heart. Why? Because our heart is in these gardens. Our story, our journey is in the gardens that you find in the Bible. Now, you know the first one. The first one is the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden is found in Genesis. This is the place of creation. This is the place of life. This is the place where family came to be. This is the place where God begins to fellowship with mankind and begins to set divine order upon mankind, begins to set life upon mankind. But you and I know that something wrong takes place in the garden, because the garden becomes a place of temptation, just like in our life, we fight temptation. And then the garden becomes a place of death and separation. And you spell death with three letters. S-I-N. Sin entered the garden. Sin entered man's heart. In the first garden, Adam and Eve rebelled against their father. Sin entered the picture. It was a place where they hid from God. In the first garden, you'll find mankind hiding from God, ashamed, condemned, guilty. It's a place where they were eventually driven out because of the sin and because of the separation. It's a place where an angel stood in front and a sword was in leash and mankind was told to stay out of the garden. But it's also a place where God speaks the remedy of sin's separation. You and I all go to the garden. Can I tell you, we will go to this garden. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all visited the Garden of Eden because of what Adam did. What does it say? That all of what Adam did, Adam represented the human race. So we've all been to the Garden of Eden because of the sin that he committed that was passed down. And the wages of sin is death. And that is our journey. We've all visited the garden. But the truth today is we don't have to choose to stay in that garden. Many people decide to live and they decide to live their life and stay right there in that garden. Away from God, exiled. But then that leads me to the second garden to consider, and that is the Garden of Gethsemane. This is a place where hope is reborn because hope was lost in the first garden. The second garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, is a place where Jesus Christ takes care of what is wrong with the world. I want you to read it with me. It's found in Matthew chapter 26, it says, then Jesus and his disciples went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, I want you to sit right here while I go over there and pray. And he took Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, and he took them among them. And the Bible says that he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell on his face up to the ground, and he prayed this prayer. Here's what Jesus prayed to his Father. My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples, and he found them sleeping. Could you not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the body is so weak. Then he went away a second time and he prayed the similar prayer. My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back again, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away one more time, and he prayed a third time, saying the very same thing. Then he returned back to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes the betrayer. Jesus went that night after the upper room, after he washed the feet of the disciples, after he shared the cup and the bread. He went to a place called Gethsemane, which means oil press or a tight place. This was a place where olives grew, and they would take the olives and they would press the olives right there in that garden. And as they would press and crush the olives, it would produce the oil that they would need. Not only was it a place that the olives were crushed, but on this night in this garden, this was the place that Jesus Christ would himself be crushed as he submitted to the will of God, to the point that Luke chapter 22 says that he was sweating drops of blood. Why was he sweating drops of blood? Because he was in a tight place. He was in a crushing place. Why? Getting us out of our wrong place. Because something went wrong in the garden. And we could not fix it. It went wrong. And Jesus went into that tight place to bring us out of that wrong place. I don't know if you've ever been in a tight place before. I don't know if you've ever been in a crushed place before, where you go to that place and you know what you end up doing? You end up praying the same prayer. You ever told the Lord, hey, it's me, and you know? Come on, somebody, help me a little bit on this Sunday morning. It's me. I don't need to pray a new prayer because I'm still fighting the same old battles. Nothing's changed about my marriage. My finances are still the same. I still haven't got a date. I'm still struggling at work. I'm still fighting through college. Lord, I don't have anything new to tell you. There's not an update to tell you. Nothing has changed about my situation, but you know. See, sometimes we get in a tight place. Sometimes we get in a hard place. Lord, I'm back here. I know it's another week. I know it's another month, but nothing has changed in my life. And I find myself praying the exact same prayer that I prayed before. Because Jesus is praying the same prayer over and over and over. God, you got to do something. Something's got to change in my life. Something's got to give way. I don't know if I can take this another day. I don't know if I can hang in here another week. I don't know if I can keep living this way, if I can keep fighting these thoughts, if I can keep struggling with this battle in my mind. Nothing seems to change. The pressure, the kids, the money, it stays the same day in and day out. He was in a tight place. See, we've been to the Garden of Eden with Adam. Now we're here in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's one thing to go to the Garden of Eden with Adam. It's another thing to go to the garden with Jesus. Because when you go with Adam, you lose. When you go with Jesus, you're found. We got death in the first garden. Guess what? We find life in the second garden. We had to hide in the first garden. All is lost in the first garden, but all is redeemed in this garden. Why? Because Jesus is deciding right there about you and I. See, Adam stood against God in his choices. Jesus is kneeling in submission to God for you and I. And then he rose up in that garden. Why? Because he had been bowed down to his heavenly Father. And he rose up and he said, I am ready. I rise up. I go to the cross for the sin of mankind. That garden made a difference. Leads me to the third garden, which is found in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, this is the third garden. Verse 10 says, then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over and looked into that tomb. And she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been. Underline that. One at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They've taken my Lord away, she said. I don't know where they've put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. See, sometimes when you're in a tight place, you don't even recognize that God is with you. See, a lot of times, we get in a place where we feel like nothing is changing. Nothing is changing. I get up, I drive to work, I go work out, I come home, I get up, I drive to work, I go work out. I come home, I take the kids to school, I pick up the kids. I take the kids to school, I pick up the kids. I check my mail, I check my mail, I check my mail. I wait for the email. I'm by myself, I'm by myself. I get up by myself, I go to bed by myself. I get up by myself and I go to bed by myself. Nothing is changing, nothing is changing, nothing is changing, but we are changing. Because in God, we are changing. We are changing. We are changing. We don't recognize him. She didn't even recognize Jesus. Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener. She said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him. And Jesus says to her, Mary. And everything changes. We don't know the name of this garden, but we know it's where the empty tomb is found. This is the third garden. I'll call it the Garden of a Fresh Start. We've been to the Garden of Eden. We've been to the Garden of Gethsemane. But we got to get to the Garden of a fresh start. What a difference the first garden made to you and I. But what a difference the second and third garden makes. See, the first garden was a place of verdict. Guilty and get out. That's what happened in the garden. I mean, you're guilty and get out. But then this last garden, Jesus says, you are released and you are welcomed in. See, the first one was a place of condemnation. This last garden is a place of reconciliation. The first one, we lost relationship, but in this garden, we are returned back into relationship with our Heavenly Father. Is anybody hearing me today? See, in that first garden, everything went wrong. But then God made it all right. Because God is a God that takes what went wrong and makes it right. When the fog lifted that morning, things had been turned around. God was getting the glory. There's a man by the name of Charles Austin Miles that 100 years ago, as a pharmacist turned choir leader, songwriter, wrote a little song called "I Come to the Garden Alone." As a choir leader writing songs, he had taken up photography. And the weekend before Easter, he was developing film and was in his dark room. And he was thinking about Easter. And he began to think about how dark that morning must have been for the disciples. But then he thought about how dark his life was before he found resurrection morning. And right there in that dark room, he had a profound spiritual experience. And he saw the garden. He says, it was a vision. I saw a vision in that dark room. I saw a vision of the garden. Here's what he said about in his own words. I read the story of the greatest morning in history. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early while it was yet very dark unto the sepulcher. And instantly, completely, there unfolded in my mind the scenes of that garden. Where out of the mist come a form, a halting, a hesitating, a tearful, seeking, turning from side to side in bewildered amazement. There was Mary faltering, bearing the grief of every moment with tear-dimmed eyes. She whispers to the gardener, if thou hast taken him, if thou hast bore him, tell me. But she discovers she's not talking to the gardener. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing. He says, Mary. And in just one word, all of her heartache is forgotten and is blotted out by the presence of Jesus. Just one word. Just one word. Word, one word from God can take everything wrong and make it right. Just one word, one word. I love that song. I come to the garden alone. While the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. I want to sing it for you. I want our team to sing it for you. But then as I was up last night, I thought there's only one person that can really sing this to us. I know we don't do this, but I want you to turn your attention to the screens. We pulled this off of YouTube because only one person can really sing this song. And it's like the original MJ. So why don't you check out the screens?
Come to the garden.
mercy, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. Come on, somebody ought to clap their hands in this house. Lord, 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 Lord. Yes, Lord, yes. How many of you don't even want to try to sing that song? Come on, Mahalia, you're the only one who can sing that song. Anybody want to try to ease up on that? I must have listened to that 50 times last night. Because in that garden, everything wrong was made right. I don't know what's wrong with your life. I don't know what you've been through. But I'm going to tell you this. You can only go to that garden alone. You can't bring your mama. Your mama can't go to that garden for you. Your boyfriend can't go to that garden for you. Your husband can't go to that garden for you. Your daddy can't go to that garden for you. Your money can't go to that garden for you. Your background can't go to that garden. Your education can't go to that garden. Your job, your pedigree, your resume, can't nothing go to that garden. You got to go to that garden all by yourself. Can I tell you something? I've never been to the Golden Gate. I've never been to the Great Wall of China. I've never seen the pyramids of Egypt. But I tell you this, I've been to that garden before. I've seen Jesus. I know what he can do in your life. Because he takes what is wrong and he makes it all right. That's the kind of God that we serve. Because he will walk with you. He will talk with you and he will call you by name. And one word makes everything right.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.